Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's T Clinic. Men's T Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-T or visit mensteclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. We're live at Men's T Clinic off of Eldorado in Frisco. And right now, it's time for Mike Asks All the Football Questions.
All right. Before I ask my first football question, I'd love to see you out here at Men's Tea Clinic and say hello.
You know, you can get your mustache touched up.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Of the local barber company, and they got some giveaways happening there as well. They're right outside of the Men's Tea. So you can get, for November, you can get your mustache trimmed up, looking all sweet, and then come into Men's Tea Clinic, and boom, feeling just as good.
I will say this, too. The B12 injections, I do like those. Those, I feel like, help me out, I'll just say personally, but I do think they help out a lot of people, you know, kind of with energy levels and stuff like that. So those are complimentary. B12 injections for all of their patients. So come in here, get your numbers checked, get on a plan, and get the complimentary B12 shot too. Only $25 today. First football question. Unfortunately, this is going to start off as Cowboys centric. Okay. My first question will be, what Dallas Cowboy player is going to get fired for this season?
The one that jumps to mind,
because if you need a time to think about it, I think here's the major issue. None of these Cowboys are threatened at all by their job. Coaching staff, yes, plenty of coaches, including the head coach, are going to get fired at the end of the year or not brought back.
Yeah.
But you tell me, start naming the players that are worried about their job after this season.
Did you say Terrence Steele?
I think Terrence Steele might be a
– yeah.
Is DeMarcus Lawrence a – eligible to not come back.
Yeah, he's a free agent. So
they will not renew his contract,
I assume.
So those two, but at this point, DeMarcus Lawrence can't really do much about it. You know, like he does no other than say he wants to come back next year, and then the Cowboys will be like, you know what, we're fine with that because that's what they do. You've been injured, it's okay.
That's for damn sure.
But yeah, Terrence Steele, I think, is one of those big options. Brandon Cooks isn't going to be back.
I think that is fair.
He can't do anything about it.
What about on the safety front? We bring in
Hooker.
Yeah.
Donovan Wilson, didn't he recently add an extension to his contract?
I think he did. I'm going to go look
that up. He's not an elite safety, but man, he makes some flash plays that you're excited about, but then there's some other breakdowns that you're just like, what is going on there? I think it's the lack of ability to get on the same page with their coordinators, and Mike, that's another factor is they might replace two coordinators in their offensive coordinator and their defensive coordinator. I don't know if they keep Mike Zimmer around. I don't know. But if they do, then you gotta relook at all your personnel again because they spent almost an entire offseason looking at what a Cowboys player should look like whenever Dan Quinn and McCarthy got here. So now they're going to have to revisit that entire thing. And I know Marcus Spears said last night they need to commit to a coach that's going to build and develop and grow here. But with their approach to things, they don't have that because their approach is you have 5 years to win this thing, and if you can't get us over the Jason Garrett hump, then you're out of here. And that's where it is because this would be a year that should be important to say let's reboot and develop and start growing for the next 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, and I hear what you're saying. I'm not saying you guys are right or wrong. We won't know. I think with Zach Martin retiring at the end of the year, I think they're going to look at it and say, we're already losing one major offensive lineman.
By the way, that's a $17 million salary cap hit that comes along with that retirement.
And then I think they'll look at Terrence Steele and go, it was the offensive line coach. We still believe in him. I'm not saying you're wrong. Yeah. Maybe you're right, but I could see where they're like, we're not letting go of a starting offensive tackle. Even as bad as he's playing, I think they look at him as a starter. And then with DeMarcus Lawrence, I think they look at it and go, we only have one first-round pick. We only have one second-round pick. We only have one third-round pick. Yeah. I get, after that, the compensation picks or whatever they're called start coming in, and you have a whole bunch of crappy picks to fill out your roster. But you only have one premium pick, your first-round pick. Then your second and third are considered solid picks.
Yeah.
That only gives you three players that you're going to somewhat believe in at the end of the draft. The other five to six guys you take later in the draft are like, we hope they can play in this league. The first three rounds, you're always like, we really think that they can help us out tremendously. So I wonder if there's a way, bring all these guys back and then just have the one draft pick in the first round who we know is going to help out immediately or believe will, and then our second and third we hope helps out immediately.
By the way, Corey, since you asked about Donovan Wilson, you can get out fairly easily after this year if you wanted to. There's a $3 million, $3.3 million hit, but you can move if you want.
I do have a question on Zach Martin. Is post-June 1 cut a factor in that?
I don't think I guess that is probably the case.
Because I saw that, like, Rodgers, they could save $9.5 million if they post-June 1st cut him, and I was like, I don't know how that all works.
Here's my argument against that, because the Cowboys, man, do they love themselves a post-June 1st cut. And look, for the record, you could ask for some money back from Zach Martin, and you could kind of change that dynamic. But realistically, let's say Zach Martin is going to retire after this year. Well, he won't announce it straight away, and the Cowboys designate him as a June 1st cut. And in that instance, then you can split up the $17 million cap hit over 2 years. But why? That's why you couldn't afford Derrick Henry this year. He just did that same goofy crap with Zeke when you cut him. And I know a lot of teams do that. It's just, it seems to bite the Cowboys more often than most. Take the hit now.
Is this the worst Cowboys season of your life?
It is not for me. And I thought a lot about this question. And I factored in some things that you might be like, I don't know if that counts, but I'll throw it out like this. To me, it was the triple 5-11s from Dave Campo, and I'll tell you why. Not only was the football bad, but this was like the first taste I'd really had as a Cowboys fan of like objective failure. You know, like I really got into the Cowboys in 89 and 90, and I realized like 89 they were terrible, but hey, they got Troy Aikman and Steve Walsh, so like we were gonna probably find a quarterback. And then in 1990 it went down to the last game before you didn't make the playoffs, and then just the good times rolled. For me, as an older Cowboys fan, I've become much more jaded, like probably most all Cowboys fans that are 25 or older. And so I'm not as surprised, because you've seen, whether it was 2015 or whatever, you've seen some really garbage years built in as well. So I'm going to go back to the Dave Campo era as worse, but this is pretty bad.
All right. Individual single season. I'm going to go to 2015, and there are a couple other reasons for that.
Yeah.
Kevin and I were assigned to do Dave and Buster's parties that season.
And I remember that.
Whenever
the
Tony Romo injury happened, we were just like, oh my gosh, how are we going to get people excited about coming to this party? And it was just a turnover fest. That being said, the turnover differential for the team, they were dead last in turnover differential. They were second to last in offensive rank overall. They were they were last in defensive rank as well. So they were the worst version of themselves that we've ever seen. And for an entire season, I think this is the worst point differential the team has ever – oh, no, never mind. 1989 was pretty bad. One of the worst point differentials they've had. Right now they're at minus seven – or that year they were minus 7.2. Right now, they're minus 10.6.
Oh, my gosh. And that's with that Cleveland blowout.
Yes. And last year, they were plus 11.
Oof.
They were plus 11 in margin of victory. So, yes, this for me, because of how bad they are overall, And, yeah, that was another year where your quarterback gets hurt and you're turning over to a backup quarterback and nobody else around them is good enough to elevate the team either.
Man, Corey, you just led me into my third question. Once again, we're cycling together.
Let's cycle it.
What would the score have been last night if Dak was the quarterback?
I think it would have ended up 34-20 or 34-24 because when the game was over, I think we would have gotten two touchdowns that made literally no impact in the game but put some stats on the board.
I would say 17.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if you get the great break that you got from Turpin with another quarterback, but you did get – like, there was a break. Cornerback doesn't do what he's supposed to do. Turpin's wide open. But I think that they probably would have gotten scored a touchdown down in the red zone there. But I also can't say that because Dak was so bad. They were so bad in the red zone before. But I will say 17. Okay. Not that much of a difference.
Did I hear right? 34-17, 34-20?
Yeah, I think I'd probably say 20. But, I mean, look.
Maybe even take one touchdown away from him because maybe that Tyler Guyton fumble touchdown doesn't happen.
Yeah,
in that instance.
We would have found an exciting new way to make the game somewhat interesting at the very end, but still lose.
Dak throws a much more catchable
ball. I like it.
Ball than Cooper Rush does, because when he threw the perfect pick six for about a 90-yard touchdown, Cooper Rush didn't throw it catchable enough for the safety.
How did that guy drop? I know.
I feel like on Dak, that ball is caught and taken to the house every time. And it just shows how nice of a ball Dak throws. It's just nice and soft for those defenders to
did
catch
he just
it.
Drop it, though, because he got big eyes?
Yeah,
watch, down
so.
The, okay.
Watch his eyes. You can see him look to the left and where there's nothing but green. And he had already started mapping out his route to the end zone from the 5-yard line.
All right, so now a football question not involving the Cowboys. And I think we've talked about this a hair, but maybe not this direct. Is Justin Herbert finally turning into the quarterback everybody projected him to be?
No.
Okay.
But the Chargers are winning, and he's giving them a chance to win because he's playing within what Harbaugh is asking. Because, Kevin, quite honestly, I expected Justin Herbert to be in the status of many years of Mahomes. Like, that's what I expected from him, and he has not lived up to that. But he's playing much more.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Strained for himself and much more and cleaner. And that's it's going to make it look good because he's winning. But I still had higher expectations for him after that first year. But he is like the whole team. Harbaugh has done a very good job at coaching him and developing him, I think, the same way he would do with any of his college quarterbacks.
I thought this last win was a big one for them because this had classic chargering written all over it. You have a huge lead, you cough it up, and then you end up losing the game inexplicably. But that didn't happen. Like, most of that happened, but then they ended up winning the game in the first game where your defense didn't really lock it down for you. So I see Corey's point for sure, and I guess I can't say all the way yet, but I actually thought that win over Cincinnati was big because they didn't end up giving up that game like they have so many times in the past.
Gotcha.
He's still electric, though. Like, he still has some electric throws that you're like, wow. He's just being – I think he's being better at doing the things that help his team.
Do I remember, is Monday Night Football Chargers and Ravens coming up? Because I think they teased that the Harbaughs are coaching against each other, but then I was like, what game is that? Is that Thursday night football? Is that Sunday night football or Monday night football? But I felt like last night maybe they were teasing that as the next Monday night game, which could be really interesting because most likely those are two wild card teams. I don't think the Chargers are going to catch the Chiefs. They could, but I don't think so.
Fair.
And at this point, I would say the Ravens have to win out to catch. And maybe they could. They're 7-4. Right? I think maybe they could.
I don't think they will.
But it looks like the Steelers, off to this awesome start, are going to be that division winner, which is going to be very interesting. My next one has to do with rookie quarterback Caleb Williams. I don't know how much you're following the Bears. Obviously, they're taking a lot of heat for decision-making from their coaching staff.
Eberflus makes some terrible in-game decisions.
So when it comes to Caleb Williams, where are you at with him and his development? We talked about Jaden Daniels yesterday.
Yep.
We talked about Bo Nix.
Yep.
Is there I think the two guys vying for, if we're looking at rookie of the year through a quarterback lens.
No, I'm with you.
Caleb Williams, number one pick, went to a team that was 7-10. It looks like they're going to be like a 7-10 team again.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on Caleb Williams in the NFL?
You know, these last two or three weeks, ever since the Hail Mary, honestly, has kind of changed my perspective because he got off to a slow start, but then weeks 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, like you saw him incrementally better, 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 and I thought, man, by the end of the year, I think the Bears are going to feel really stoked about this. I'm sure they still feel just fine about Caleb Williams, but that whole team feels broken after the Hail Mary.
I know. When you watch guys, like just comparing it to Jim Harbaugh, where we just talked about the Chargers and their quarterback, and then you talk about the Bears, their quarterback and their coach, it does make you think, man, the right coach can have a huge impact in football. I think it can. We just saw it in baseball, too. That's why I'm thinking the Reds might have a really good year this upcoming year. It's amazing that you think, well, what does a coach do? You can only do so much with so much talent, but then you watch what Eberflus might be doing to his rookie quarterback, and then, like, what if Caleb Williams had Jim Harbaugh in his rookie year? What if he had Jim Harbaugh for his first 5 years of his career? What would Jim Harbaugh get out of Caleb Williams? Because to me, my opinion, all of a sudden, you see this guy who Justin Herbert, who I gave up on, and I was like, fine, he has all the talent in the world, he has all the arm strength in the world, he has the body, the athleticism that you want. It's not correlating into success. And then you get Jim Harbaugh, it's like, now it's correlating into success. And you could argue he has a worse team on offense around him than he has the last few years.
And he already got a new OC, maybe a more permanent OC. He's going to get a new head coach. So you'll get that opportunity.
He's on a 4-game streak without throwing an interception. He's also on a 4-game streak without throwing a touchdown. So like that's,
Herbie?
Caleb Williams.
Okay.
So I have for him specifically, I think he's better than Justin Fields. I do think that. But he definitely has to get a better understanding of what he needs to do in the NFL.
Those are my questions.
What do you think? Can I ask a bonus question? What do you think about this? Because this feels like, I don't know if you would support this. Did you see there's word going around that Joey Porter Jr.'s family sold his will call tickets that they got for $400 a piece? And that his uncle said, I seen nephew play enough ball. I know what he do. Okay, Corey, support this?
I love that. I think that's hilarious for one.
Mike, you seem potentially less supportive of this.
So you're saying the father sold the tickets?
No, their uncle.
Their uncle got tickets from his nephew, and he went and just sold them outside the stadium and went home.
Correct.
I mean, I'd never give them tickets again.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
I don't care if I go to the Super Bowl.
No,
buy your own tickets.
Is a fair point.
You got $800 for those two tickets. Use those $800 to see if you can get in the Super Bowl.
Hope it was worth it. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. We're live at Men's Tea Clinic in Frisco, having a good time today off of El Dorado. And coming up next, let's go around the NFC East inside the domination of Saquon Barkley and more on Cowboys Texans, if you need to vent. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
7-0 Houston. Fourth down, Stroud back. Sets and looks. Fourth down over the middle. Intercepted at the 10-yard line. Hooker caught it and then ran into Diggs and runs up the left side. And Hooker is tackled at around the 34-yard line by the center, Juice Scruggs.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 through the Fan. We're live at Men's Tee Clinic in Frisco off of El Dorado. We got the local barber company out front. They're trimming up those men's mustaches for free as part of November. They've always also got some tie-ins and giveaways happening there.
That's but, the name of their company.
Yes. No, yeah, the local.
I was like, oh, the I'm local sorry. For like, it the is neighborhood.
That's fair. It is literally called the local barber okay. company. Sorry for any confusion on that front. Plus, you can also get your $25 tee test for all patients. Get your baseline. Set up a plan today. We're at Men's Tee Clinic in Frisco, but that offer is available at all Men's Tee Clinics today. Now, you ready for us to go across the NFC East?
Yeah.
That is the enthusiasm I'm looking for. But
yes, Kevin, I am prepared.
Honestly, that's fair. I'm assuming you want to start with the Eagles.
Don't They're in spell. First.
They are. Give me cut number 20 if P-H. You can't. No.
That's a lot of spelling. That's too much spelling.
Give me cut 20, please.
On the ground, and a first down, and a ton more. Barkley, touchdown.
Saquon Barkley has 6 games with 100-plus rushing yards this season. That's the most in the NFL. And Barkley had 6 such games combined in the last 4 years with the Giants. So, like,
because you could just stack the box against him. Now, granted, he was still good against stacked boxes, but he didn't have far to run, you know? And now
true.
You have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith stretching the field. In the intermediate route, you have Dallas Goedert. It creates so much space for him to continue running.
Safe to say that's been a slam dunk positive signing
yes.
for the Eagles.
Yes, and if they can stay above their ability to play down to an opponent, they have a really good chance of making a run through the playoffs and going to the Super Bowl again.
Micah loves that signing.
He does. That man, that he does. Now,
that was his former teammate at Penn State, right? Like, or the Penn State.
I don't know. He said a few things about the Eagles that
yeah.
he seems pretty stoked
he's from
about
that
them.
Area. Yeah.
Now, Saquon Barkley is already, I believe, at 1,347 total yards. Once he gets past 1,500, he gets a $250,000 bonus. Passes 2,000 yards, gets another $250,000 bonus, and the amount earned from his yardage incentives would also be added to his 2025 salary. So he's like, you get money now, and I'll also give you another $250,000 later, which is lovely for him.
Incentives are interesting.
Yes, that is true. If he is named first team all pro, he will get a $500,000 bonus. Pro Bowl will get him $250,000. So the point is, he's still going to cash in probably another million plus in incentives based off of this season.
Wow, that is
good for him.
Yeah, he's deserved it. Him and Derrick Henry have been just awesome for
and
you'd
think he would have taken advantage of the Cowboys, but he didn't have to really do much in that game, and they still won 34-6.
Yeah, that
the last two games are 68-16 if you're trying to add up the last two games for the Cowboys.
Oh, great. I'm really excited about that. Thanks, Mike. All right.
It might get worse on Sunday.
Oh, I know. No, I could definitely see that. Let's talk about Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts, in the second half in this past game, obviously we're going back to Thursday now, he was not pressured on any of his 11 dropbacks in the second half. What did he do with that time? He completed 8 of 9 passes for 120 yards. So, look, we're going to have to go back and revisit some of the Washington defensive struggles, and we might do that in just a minute. But it's the defense that has really been dragging them down, in addition to Jaden Daniels probably having one of his worst games of his career this past week.
Yeah, and I don't know if that'll continue. Maybe he did plateau a little bit, and people have figured him out just a little bit. I'm not sure exactly where that is, but as you find out more games here, we'll get that bigger sample size to understand it.
Now, let's talk about Washington, your guy. They forgot about Terry McLaurin. So you go back in that game, and I went back and double-checked this. He didn't get a target until 11 minutes left in the third quarter.
Yeah, it was bad.
All right, and so that's really bad. That's the second time in his career he's had a targetless first half. And his first catch came with 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
His first catch.
Yeah.
Ouch.
I mean, give give the Eagles cornerbacks a lot of credit for that, because watching throughout that one, Quinyon Mitchell was fantastic. DeJean was great as well. They did a remarkable job of just making sure they were stuck to McLaurin. And more than anything else, Jaden Daniels looked afraid to go downfield against the Eagles. And that, I mean, just kind of go back and look at how many times he targeted downfield. He was trying to pick up these yardage on the outside and then pick it up with his legs. They tried to run the ball against him. Cliff Kingsbury's approach in this game just didn't work out. But I did think it was a little weird that that guy who you trust so much just isn't even getting the ball put in his direction through it earlier on in that game. But I give the Eagles a lot of credit for the job that they did there. There wasn't a lot of room.
I do think we'll get to see Jaden Daniels up close on Sunday against a minor league football team called the Dallas Cowboys. But you're seeing that in a rookie year, it can be a little bit up and down. Yep. There are the rare, like for Dak, that was rare to lose the first game and then go 13-2 the rest of the way. Like, that's crazy how that year ended up playing out. But I think with Jaden Daniels, he's really good. I think he's going to be really good for 10 to 20 years in the NFL for Washington, most likely. But I think we're just seeing a little bit of how tough it is to consistently be good to great week in and week out in this league.
Yeah, and when teams get a little film on you, they can change their approach to you.
And how do you adjust to that is ends up being
exactly.
the key. I will say this. This is an issue that is not going away for the Commanders. What did we not think Dan Quinn defenses were good at?
Stopping the run.
Stopping the run. Through 11 games, the Commanders are 30th in the NFL in run defense. They're giving up 152 yards per game. And last year, 127. The year before that, 113. So it has gotten decidedly worse under Dan Quinn. And so, look, there's been a lot of positives. I'm sure the Commanders are stoked to be where they are right now, and it looks like they found their quarterback of the future. But this is something that kicked up at the beginning of the season, and their run defense continues to be a problem.
They're okay with it. Dan Quinn's okay with it. As long as the pressure continues to be overwhelming. Because that's his main factor. That's a by design kind of defense. Their design is to be overwhelming with their pressure on you and then help out their secondary in that respect. But it does not design itself very well to filling gaps to stop the run. That's just the way it is. But again, that goes to the model of, hey, we just don't want to give up 70-yard passes. We don't want to give up big plays downfield. We're perfectly fine giving up yards underneath on the running game, but we don't want anything to blow up downfield against us. That being said, when you're getting gashed for like 20 yards at a time, that's not good.
You ready for the Cowboys?
I don't know. I kind of like that Washington talk.
All right, I'm going to take you to the Cowboys.
Go ahead and keep that one around, Alec. I want to keep that one.
I'm going to do the best I can. The Kevontae Turpin catch, 64-yard touchdown.
The guy had it right.
He did.
Well, who told us yesterday? Turpin time.
His previous long was 34 yards, and so he outpaced that by 30 yards, and obviously that was the Cowboys' first touchdown at home in, what, almost 2 months? Which is really depressing. And then when you guys told me that the Cowboys don't even have the most touchdowns at the stadium this year, that's even more depressing.
The Saints did it in one game. They have 6, and then the Lions have 5. They did that in one game. The Cowboys don't have – they have 5. But, Mike, you've been asking – before we get to your hand being raised, for like the last 2 or 3 weeks, how do you get the ball to Turpin? And when I texted last night, that's how. You get him on slants and let him have a straight line. You have Yak built in to the play.
You're saying next year Belichick will be able to use him.
I'm not saying that. Oh. I'm saying – that's the way you do it. You give him a slant. He's not CeeDee Lamb where he's going to break a bunch of tackles. He is a straight line runner. You also don't throw it deep downfield to him. But that's not his MO either. You got to get him a slant across the middle and then let him pick up speed after that. That's the only way that I really know how to use that receiver.
All right, so you're talking about the one touchdown you got to see the last 2 weeks for the Cowboys. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was fun.
16 points in the last 2 games. Mm-hmm. Here's my Mike ask another football question based off of the Cowboys. How many more games this year will they even score 20 points in a game?
I'll say two.
Are you going with the two obvious games?
Yes, I am going with the two obvious games. Because otherwise,
like,
I just...
At this point, scoring 20 seems almost impossible for this team.
One. And I think it's the Panthers.
Yeah.
I think they still score under 20 against the Giants.
It's
their offense just, I mean, they have a backup quarterback, backup running back. They have a lot of backup offensive linemen
yes,
in right
they
now.
Do.
They have backup,
receivers.
Receivers
yeah.
everywhere except for CeeDee Lamb, and he's not playing at his best. So I don't have much faith. And even when, like, there was a lot last night of, like, hey, man, throw the ball deep. And then when he does throw the ball deep, you couldn't really take advantage
of it. Hey, man, never mind. Don't throw the ball
just
deep.
Just keep doing that other stuff as a backup.
CeeDee Lamb has tied an arbitrary NFL record for the most consecutive games with at least four catches. Now, he shares that record with Michael Thomas. Both had 43 straight games with at least four catches. And honestly, I bet he will break that record in the next game. And I bet he won't give a damn at all because of how the team is doing.
I appreciate you telling us that stat, Kevin. That does make me think of MLB. Whenever MLB tracks the weirdest stats you could keep, but I don't care about that.
Okay,
good
fair.
Job. Four catches.
Somebody you do care about?
Get some dubs.
Brandon Aubrey. He's done his best. I know he
release fought. Him. I saw that miss.
And he fell down.
That was bad, dude.
Aubrey.
Even when he misses, though, he hits the post.
Yeah. So even
the grandson saw it immediately, though.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Did you see when they
they
scanned up to the Jerry room?
Oh, yeah, no.
Yeah.
I missed that.
And you could see, I'm sorry, I don't know all the grandson's names. But he's like, Dad, Granddad, look. Like, he slipped. And I was like, oh, I can't believe he missed it. I didn't catch it in live action. Then they showed the replay. You could see. But one of the grandsons saw, hey, he slipped when he was planting.
Wow. I mean, then he came back and he kicked the 64-yarder that we took off the board. And I understand reasons why they took it off the board. But Brandon Aubrey has 20 makes from 50-plus yards. That surpasses Brett Maher for the second most 50-yard-plus field goals in franchise history.
And he has so many more that we keep wiping off the board.
We've taken at least two 60-plus yarders off the board
this
year.
Or we don't snap the ball in time.
Exactly. Only Dan Bailey has more.
Thunder Dan.
I don't know if that's a good thing, though. Like, it's great that he's so good at kicking, but the fact that we have to kick so many 50-plus yard field goals, like, that's probably
I not want
great.
Them to try a
70-yarder.
Let's go.
I'm with you.
We can't
you
do it in
that.
Washington. They have grass and field.
Yeah,
like, you know, wind and everything, sun.
Ultimately, you want to know that you can rely on that guy for those. Like, he seems to be very, in those clutch moments, he's been pretty good. But you don't get enough of those. But you want to be able to say, hey, look, man, in the NFC Championship game is when we needed him the most. Now, in the regular season, we needed him to score the most points for us.
Yeah.
And that's comforting that you have it. It's just I'm not building my team around a kicker.
Well, that's a good question. 20 points from the offense alone or defensive scores? Now, I took it as an all told.
Yeah, all
could
told.
Could be a special teams. I mean, could be. Yeah. No, I have to have the whole thing.
In a way, you might not be able to score 20 offensive points. That you have to have the defense get you 7 or special teams get you 7 to get you to 20 or more points this year in another game.
We'll figure it out.
Will we?
Yeah. Not this year.
How?
Not this year.
Okay.
What about, at some point.
What about next year?
Look, man, Jerry is going to roll up
when
his
you get
sleeves
Ginty with the 4th overall pick, everything will be fixed.
Okay.
He's gone from the number 1 to the number 2 to the number now he's at 4, Kevin. So he's working. And you didn't say no there. So
look, that's because I was caught up with we traded a top of the 4th round draft pick for Jonathan Mingo, who now in his last 5 games has been targeted 9 times. He has 1 catch for 1 yard.
And it wasn't even for our team. He was targeted on that 4th down play where two guys jogged into the corner of the end zone without running a route, looking for the ball. And then Mingo comes whipping across the television, which it wasn't a great pass and it wasn't catchable. But I was like, so that was the play. So if they ran the play correctly, it was roll out the slow quarterback who can't run, which is fine. Roll him out to the right side. But then CeeDee Lamb is running, and like Troy Aikman pointed this out weeks ago, and remember they told us to shut up because you know Troy Aikman doesn't know what he's talking about.
Nope.
When you see that, when you see what Turpin and CeeDee Lamb did on that, either they are horribly coached and don't know what is going on a 4th down play in the red zone, or you have such dumb guys on this team. They don't know the play when they come out of the huddle. They forget it or something. It's kind of like me listening to like some segments. They're like, I forgot what you guys said.
Yeah.
You're like, I literally just told you 5 seconds. The play was in both of you forgot what the play was.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you this? And I know a lot of receivers do this, but is there any concern that like you can definitely tell when there's no chance CeeDee Lamb's getting the ball? Because there are multiple times he lined up last night and I was like, well, there's no way in hell the ball's going to him.
He just
kind of walks up and like he doesn't actually put his hands on his hips, but you could tell he does not have the intensity up at the line of scrimmage that like, hey, he might get the ball. If I'm a defender, I'm like, oh, man, I'm going to be ready to cut and maybe do a late rush.
Did CeeDee already quit on that play before it was snapped? Or was he running a route that he knew he was supposed to go in a certain way and Tolbert wasn't supposed to be in that area? And when Tolbert was in that area, he goes, I quit too. You moron ran right where I was supposed to run, and now we have just two guys in the same spot. Screw it.
We gotta move. I'll just throw this out there for the Giants. Brian Daboll. Now a lot of people have changed their opinion and think now he is in fact coaching for his job in these last 7 games. I know what the owner said and everything. We got all the confidence and whatnot, but now it looks like these last 7 games will determine whether or not he keeps his job.
That's interesting. You changed the quarterback, and now it's time for you to like you could blame the quarterback before.
Did you know that's why they went to Tommy DeVito as opposed to Drew Locke? He was like, I think I can win with Tommy DeVito.
And no, I think that's a reality right there. I think that's a real thing. You were coaching with Daniel Jones, and that's the problem. So we'll give you another guy, and is that going to be the problem too? And are you more productive with the other guy?
You like Daboll? Would you be happy if the Cowboys had him as the next coach of the Cowboys?
Offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I really want to put together like an all-star group.
Well, that's not
hard. Kirby Smart.
It's not.
I want Kirby Smart as my head coach.
Oh, wow.
And then he's making more in college than he'll make as the Cowboys coach. But, yeah, I want him, and then I want Dable to be an offensive coordinator. And then, give me some hotshot defensive coordinator from college, too, and I'll rock with that.
Okay. And then draft Travis Hunter. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Men's Tee Clinic in Frisco off of El Dorado. And right now, it's some Mike Likes It.
All right. So I'm wondering this. A lot of Cowboy fans will say this to me or to us, and I totally get it. They'll be like, I don't pay attention to the NBA until January 1st or, you know, like the new year or Christmas or when the Cowboys get eliminated from the playoffs, which is usually right around January 1st. And then they start paying attention to the Mavs or the Stars or maybe a little bit of Rangers offseason. I don't know. What I'm wondering is the Cowboys are 3-7. Scoring 20 points seems to be like scoring 60 points.
Yeah.
Like it just isn't happening. I'm wondering, text in YouTube. I'll pull up the YouTube here. Twitch. I'll pull up the Twitch. Where are you guys at right now with sports? I'm asking you two guys first, but I'd love to hear you guys text in on this. When your team is this bad, like some of the worst football I've ever seen in my life, what happens now with your sports situation?
See, I think luckily, and I bet you guys are the same thing, you like so many different sports and so many teams that you can usually fall back on one. Like, I understand your question because there's a lot of people that are just Cowboys or just football people, but I love the Stars, and the Stars have been playing really well. I know they lost last night. Or Duke basketball just got started. They have a potentially generational player on the team, and then Texas A&M is having one of their best seasons in a while and is gearing up for one of potentially the biggest A&M games in a really long time if they can beat Auburn. That's right, Mike Elko. It's Auburn next. And so there are a lot of other teams. We'll probably talk about that some more tomorrow, too, or whenever. There are a lot of other teams that I like, so I'm not out on sports. I'm sad about a lot of these major teams, and I'm sad that Sunday isn't just a stop down for the Cowboys right now.
I can like so many other – and the 5-11 seasons helped me with this. I like other football teams. I can watch football and be excited and know, well, the Cowboys are one of those other teams. I don't have to – that doesn't – so I'm still involved with a lot of football. And then I listen to the Tuesday tailgate every Tuesday here on 105.3 The Fan.
Even this Tuesday?
Yeah, even this Tuesday. I'll be listening. And whatever games Carter and Kevin tell me to listen to or to watch or to keep track of, those are the ones. So, like – interested in Colorado's stories. I'm interested in Indiana. I was interested in Miami. And then the Cam Ward thing kind of blew up there. But there's lots of interesting little stories. And then Mavs kind of takes over. But the Mavs aren't playing great either. So I look for entertainment value.
Okay, so real quick on YouTube. I'm on YouTube right now. It says college football and then like Honeydew List, Netflix, and like, you know, other shows like that. Pivot to Mavs and Stars. I watch Longhorns. I see where Roki Sasaki is going to go. Time to switch to the Golden State Warriors. I assume that they're a Warriors fan. I watch Premier League, Champions League soccer. So there's some different answers. Now here's kind of, we've done this before, but I'm asking you guys here. We're going to cover the Cowboys after the game. Like,
sure.
Today, we're going to cover them. It was a horrible game. They're a horrible team. We're going to cover them that
after
day.
After Broadus got done last night, he had to cover them in the post.
Yeah, we're going to cover them, let's say, on Friday. We're going to prepare you at Buffalo Wild Wings in Arlington for the Cowboys and Washington massacre that's going to happen. And we'll tell you all the ways they're going to lose by 20 or more points. But what do we do the other days for you Tolos? We want to keep you listening because I do find this in our Metroplex what people want to do, and maybe they're not listening already. It's like, I just don't want to listen to it. Does that make sense? Like, I don't want to listen to sports talk, this and that.
Which I get.
If I, like, I'm going to give examples. If I start calling up the Rangers and try to get Skip Schumacher on, Chris Young on, the new general manager, Ross.
Fenstermaker.
If I start doing that, are you guys going to be like, I don't want to listen to freaking all these interviews of Texas Ranger crap when we're not even close to a season starting, we're not close to spring training right now? Is that bad? Would you guys be like, I don't want to listen to that? Or do you want to listen to us to break down more Cowboys talk?
And that's a good question, because I bet you'll get plenty of people who love the Rangers who'll be like, Rangers. But like, how representative is that of everybody? I don't know.
And then when it comes to the Mavs, a lot of people, we've talked about it. The ratings are pathetic right now for the NBA. The worst it's been in a very long time. And the election is over, and I get you can still watch post-election stuff.
Sure.
But
still got
it hasn't,
congressional seats up for grabs.
Yeah, and it hasn't helped out. Right? The NBA has not been helped out by the election being over.
Yeah.
People are not watching NBA basketball right now. So it's like, gosh, do I turn to talking about, you know, I watched at halftime, I watched the Houston Rockets and Milwaukee Bucks. That was a very I love Sengun, and I might be saying his name wrong, but that's the way I say it for the Rockets. I tell you what, man, that kid Green is turning into a star.
Yeah, he is.
They're 10-5. I can talk about Oklahoma City, Golden State, Los Angeles, and Houston right now. They're off to great starts in the Western Conference. Do you guys want to hear that, or am I just wasting my time talking about, hey, are these four teams, because there's part of me that wants to talk about, are these four teams going to stay atop the top six in the West the whole season? Or do you feel like Houston's going to fall off because of their lack of experience? Do you think that the Lakers will fall off because of their age and injury history with Anthony Davis? Do you feel like the Warriors are way better than I could ever imagine them being this year? Or am I wasting my time? Should I go back to Dallas Cowboys talk, or will that turn you guys off?
Yeah, I think, you know, when we've kind of discussed this with Tolos before, Kevin, it's always been, look, man, you guys, whatever journey y'all are on, I'm excited to ride with you, because y'all's interest, because you're passionate about it, it gets me kind of excited. And just look at the Rangers season. We were passionate that entire season, and then it led to a World Series.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, man, I was glad I came along for that ride. So, Mike, I really do think if it's a weird, quirky something else, if we dive in on it and have a lot of passion about it and it turns out to be fun, Tolos are going to be in on it. So, Cowboys right now, you kind of you deal with the suck. And then you go on about everything else. I think there's a lot of interesting Rangers storylines coming up. You know, we're going to get to those winter meetings here soon, and there's going to be a lot of interest in what their plan is going to be. Now, if their plan is not budge, then it's like, come on, man, what are we doing? The Mavs really gave us a boost, an injection for a while, but I do feel like if they're not on fire, that people are kind of like, oh, we'll wait and see what happens in the playoffs on them.
Here's a question, kind of like Mike asked all the football questions. How upset will Jerry get when he's in the car listening to the fan that we're not talking about the Cowboys?
Yeah, I think that's the case.
Like, absolutely. How much will that affect the Cowboys that we're not talking about them?
They'll know what...
In a way, I want to affect the Cowboys. I want Jerry Jones to wake up, but he doesn't have to. He's a billionaire who has the yellow jacket, who has the Super Bowls. You're giving him $1 billion a year, Cowboy fans, all over the world, not just in Dallas-Fort Worth. So, like, it doesn't... Like, this doesn't matter to him until, like, it matters to him. I don't think it ever will, but I'm like, will it matter to him that he's like, are they talking to the Rangers general manager right now in November?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, are they talking to, like, will that upset him at all that we're not talking about how bad they are?
I mean, I think that he knows that's on the way. That's one of the reasons that the Sean and RJ moment happened. Because he knows how to stir it up and get a headline. Heck, the other day, they'd already made the trade for Mingo, and he's on the phone with us right before he gets on the phone with us, and he's like, I think we can get a couple fours. And people were like, hold on, what's he talking about there?
He looks like a tight end, runs like
he'll,
one, too.
He'll try and figure out a way to stir up some interest for sure. Like, that's going to be the thing. But I am interested in that, because I know that if you talk bad about Jerry, he's like, hey, this is good. Turn that up.
Yeah.
You know, if you're talking good about him, he's like, yeah, let's keep riding with this. If you're talking bad, it's, hey, I'll listen to this too. But if you're not talking about him, that probably does get under his skin.
Well, I know everybody's depressed because of the Cowboys season and everything. The Mavericks do play tonight in a very winnable game.
Pelicans?
Yeah. If it was the real Pelicans, you'd be worried. And maybe
like
the
actual Pelicans
swoop down and get
okay,
you.
Yeah.
But obviously they're dealing with Zion. I can't believe it. He's hurt.
I think that's sarcasm. That's a little
when
bit
did
ago.
He get hurt again?
Yeah, every day. Him and Maxi Kleber are on the same injury report schedule.
Do you think, I know we're going back to football for just a second, do you think people are going to start being like, well, of course Dak's hurt because he gets hurt?
Yeah, I do. I think that this is going to be a miserable 4 years for the Cowboys. I think you're dealing with Danny White at the end of his career. I think you're dealing with Drew Bledsoe, who came here. My opinion, I don't care if I'm wrong or not, but I think Cowboy fans better hope I'm wrong. I think you're dealing with a quarterback whose body is closer to 40 years old than 30 years old the rest of his career.
Okay.
So that's it.
All right, there you go. There is Mike Likes It right here live from Men's Tee in Frisco off of El Dorado. Remember, when our show ends, the G-Bag Nation will also be doing their show here. Coming up next, it's time for the C-Block starring Corey Majors.
All right, we'll go into a little bit of hits and misses from last night, but also, do you enjoy yelling at referees? Next on The Fan.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.